Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Talking at Music Education. This is Mary Lurson, recording here at the NAMM Show 2017. We're in a wonderful soundproof booth here located at the Grand Plaza, just steps away from the stage. So we've had some wonderful live music kind of ambiating through the booth, our soundproof booth. And we've had a wonderful group of guests that we've been chatting with about music education, its importance, what we need to do for music education locally, on the state level, nationally. And I'm delighted to welcome a wonderful friend and national leader of music and arts education, working in the Metro Nashville Public Schools, for a program that we're all watching with great pride and interest, the expansion of music education through Music Makes Us. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you, Mary. Delighted to be here.
Welcome back to another recording of Talking at Music Education. You can scroll back in an earlier recording where we chatted with Lori. I was in Nashville and we were chatting with you about several things, so we're glad to have you back. Share an update with Music Makes Us in Nashville. What's the news from this year, the exciting things that have happened?
We're in our fifth year of operation. And I always have to say that music education existed in Nashville, certainly, before Music Makes Us started. And we inherited a pretty robust program with 100% participation at the elementary level. But in the last 5 years, we've been able to increase participation, particularly at the middle and high school level. So overall, we have a district of about 85,000 children, and we have about 60% plus of our students are participating in music education. And that to us is a success.
Which is a remarkable percentage for a district. And how many, I think you reported to us the percentage increase in the middle and high school.
Right? At the middle school level, we're at about 52% of our students participating in music. And at the high school level, 27%.
Which is a normal reality when students in high school start electing. They're either going to be a physics major, or they're going to, something's going to pull them all sorts of directions. So that's still very high.
We find that as kids get older, they have more choices, and we work very hard to keep them in music and to keep music as a viable option for them.
So you were hired by the school district to lead this program, to be its director, right? What are your responsibilities as director?
I came on, as I said, 5 years ago, and this was a new concept for Nashville, and I think nationally also.
I think it is very unusual nationally, yeah, which is why we're so interested in it for many reasons. But
it's a public-private partnership that was born in our mayor's office. Former Mayor Carl Dean and his Music City Music Council got together and said, what can we do? What can we do to give back to our community? And they landed on education as a way that they can strengthen our community, and particularly music education. So the idea was born that we want the schools to be great. We want our music education to be robust, but we also want to include the community and our community partners and other funders in the private sector to help advance music education for all of our students. So that's where we started. And when I came on board, I was asked to be more of the outward-facing person. We have a team of two professional folks in our department, and I direct the vision and mission and outcomes and strategic planning, stakeholder engagement a piece of our work, and my colleague, Dr. Nola Jones, is the curriculum and instruction and principal engagement part of the work. So we make a really good team.
Yeah, it's a dynamic team, too. How wise it was for the district to really look at it this way. It's almost like they wanted to, they made a commitment to having a community coalition, right, through the Music City Advisory Board and the external supporters simultaneously to ramping up the public expansion. It's and then making sure that there was leadership that could really hold both sides accountable to its engagement, right? And that's been your job, right?
Yes.
Very interesting. Yeah.
We didn't call it a collective impact initiative 5 years ago. That term has come into more use in recent years, but that's really what it is. And with all collective impact programs, you need a driver. And I'm grateful that they housed it and gave us the resources and the support to really direct this from inside the school district and engage the community from that vantage point.
Mm-hmm. I know we've been through the NAMP Foundation very honored to support a couple of the research pieces that have been part of it. And I think that's important too, to keep reporting back to the community, you know, through real data. I hope it's helped. I hope it's been part of, I know we've reported the data out nationally and it's been very important to share.
It's been really important for our community also to see what we're doing and why it's important. Mm-hmm. So the support from the NAMP Foundation to do that research to assess the impact and also what our progress has been important for our stakeholders to see, bear witness to, and then to get behind and support.
Yeah. We're also, I think, as I talked to, we're interested about doing some other research. So we'll talk maybe in the weeks ahead about some other ideas. Nashville's just been a really important expansion test case. And people around the country are very interested in what's happening in Nashville. And we've brought some people to Nashville to visit, and have other people visited Nashville too to look at the program?
We have entertained visitors from Philadelphia. We get calls a couple of times a week. We're having some folks in from Alabama in a couple of weeks. People are curious. They're curious about what we're doing and how we're doing it. It's the how.
Mm-hmm. It's the, give me the list, give me the checklist to get this done. And I think there are a few things that you've learned along the way too that we would also kind of like to document. You know, what are some of those things that are essential on the district policy level to have to do this expansion work? Have you learned along the way and the district has agreed to make changes or to make adjustments?
We're fortunate to have a state policy that does say that music and arts must be a part of every child's education, particularly at K-8. And so that policy, that state policy was important in driving the early years of participation. What our district has done in the way of practice is to enable us, music and arts department, to be at the table with curriculum and instruction. We're not a nice to have, we're a must have. So we sit at the table with math and science and reading and our colleagues in the other content areas. That's been structurally really important. So I will say that practice has helped to launch us. The other piece of that is access. I find Nashville to be a remarkable community in terms of being able to access our senior administration, to be able to access the media, to be able to access leaders in the music industry. It's extraordinary to me to be able to pick up the phone and call these folks and say, what do you think? Can you help us with this?
Well, I think that you have also done that, Lori, right? In the 5 years that you've been there, it's like having that spokesperson, that leader for initiative. People will get involved if they know that there's a means and there's a reasonable way and there's it's articulated over and over and over. And you're ringing the bell, right? You're calling up people and saying, this is where we are. This is what we need. being at the whole curriculum, the whole curriculum table, being there, probably being invited to the table, but maybe just going and being at the table is as important. I guess where I'm digging at some ways that districts, some other districts can, what they're seeking, the information that they're seeking from you, this whole idea of being at the large curriculum table. I mean, under Notes I Left Behind, we were part of the core curriculum. We already had a reason and a national policy, federal policy, to go sit at that table. But how many did? Right? I mean, it's like, let's take the place at the table, let's pull out our chair at the table and sit at it. And waiting for the invitation to be at the table, maybe music makes us initiative, and the pressure from the community, the enthusiasm from the community made that all easier. But it's a place at the table we get to take too, right?
And you know, we felt confident in asking right. for that. And I think they in turn saw that this had great value to our community through the research that we've done. So it feeds, success feeds on itself. And I think the more people see how we're contributing to the overall success of our students, we're not a standalone, we're not a separatist. We want to be part of every child's success. And the more that we say that, then the more those practices are realized through HR, through hiring process, through curriculum revision, through everything it takes to put a program into place.
You just got to be busy all the time, right?
You got to be
busy. It's like playing every bar of the xylophone simultaneously, right?
Sometimes.
Right. I've had the pleasure, joy to go to Nashville and go to some of the music classrooms and see the use of technology in the general music classroom. It's great seeing, which is clear there was a consistency of curriculum intent and the flexibility and creativity of teachers to add their individual angle and competencies to the curriculum, and just a lot of care and feeding of teachers. It's something, obviously, there's a real understanding about that. Yeah,
I think we saw that as an important piece of how to advance this work. We have a 200 teaching workforce, music teachers in our district, and 400 visual and performing arts teachers overall. And I was talking earlier today with Nola, and she reminded me that for those veteran teachers who've been with the district for 30 years, they will have touched about 12,000 students. That's more than learning notes on a page. That's really knowing students, knowing what they want, knowing what they need to succeed. And it's investing in their professional learning that's going to keep them there, to keep their enthusiasm going, and to keep them motivated to continue to do this very hard work.
But you know, when you put it that way, that's a pretty powerful justification for investing in the layer of administration, right? That keeps information flowing out, but also keeps information flowing back into the high quality teacher force, right? I think we need more information about that, Lori. What do we do to get more information about that? You know, and I know you think the way I think about assessments and evaluation. So we'll talk more about that. A teacher that's been in a district and lives through a family life for 10, 15 years, we know stories about that all the time. Someone, a family that all children have had the same band director or the same beginning orchestra teacher, and then they go up through a system of other teachers in the district. You're right, it's a phenomenal impact on families, on a community, on a neighborhood that these teachers have.
Unlike their math teacher or their language arts teacher, these music teachers have an opportunity to grow up with these students, or the students grow up with these teachers from fifth grade sometimes all the way through high school. Mm-hmm. So that, I think that has a value all in itself. Mm-hmm. It's remarkable how close these students and teachers mm-hmm. become.
Well, can't take it for granted. You know, I mean, high quality programs, high impact programs are deliberately thought about. I mean, again, I credit that to Nashville Music Makes Us. Many of the things that we know need to be present for a program like this to thrive and expand were really done deliberately.
We right? had great intent. That's right? that's true. They were deliberate, but I also like to say we're strategic, but we're also opportunistic. Mm-hmm. So when the CMA Foundation calls and said, "So Keith Urban is available. You want to bring some kids to play with him?" Mm-hmm. We say yes. we'll do it. So we want to be nimble. We want to be opportunistic. We want to take advantage of what's out there in the community and people's goodwill and generosity. So it takes both kinds of thinking.
Right. You've been involved in the at a long and important career in California with the California Alliance for Arts Education. Your work in Nashville, you work with many groups across the country on their education plans. You were involved in the philanthropic sector for a while. How are we doing, Lori, with all the dreams we have for every child to have a high quality music and arts education? You know, kind of a look back. What does your 2020 lens tell you, from where we've been the last couple of decades to where we are?
When I started doing this work many years ago, I think probably 35 years ago or more, I began doing this work as a teaching artist, actually, as a dance teaching artist. And I was working in rural Maine. And students, children did not know what dance was. They didn't have any exposure to dance other than perhaps the Nutcracker Ballet. And what I found at that time was, and what really turned me on to doing this work, is that the students and the teachers were so hungry for it. They could see immediately that it's another way to learn. It's another way to express oneself. It's another way to process information. And from those early days in Maine and also in California, where I saw that the wax and wane of arts education because of Prop 13, I think we have come a long way from there. I think arts education is on the rebound. I think we have won the battle to make the case for why arts education is important. We walk into policymakers, legislators' offices, and we say arts education, and they go, "Oh, my son, oh, my daughter, oh, I played piano when I was younger."
And we're building
it's
on
there.
That. We're building on that.
Yes, and it's there's a readiness and a willingness to believe. There's still some uncertainty to the how to do it. But I do think we've won that battle with people in the community, in the public sphere, understanding the benefits.
So we have won a battle, not the battle, but a battle of relevance.
Yes.
Right. And now the among the next challenges to we are relevant, therefore we need we need the things that we need to have these great programs.
That's right. And that's the next step.
We have to be at the table to make our relevance, to execute our relevance in the public sphere, in the public school, right? In one public school, in many public schools, we have to be that informed, action-oriented advocate, right?
It's about making the case, but then also having a plan for how to get there and what does it look like.
Yeah,
and how can I do it?
We are really at the ask of advocacy. We have to say, you know, whatever the circumstances are, and this is the effectiveness of our network of advocates helping each other. This is my circumstances. What do I need next? Well, we can't see it ourselves. Or visiting Nashville and saying, "Oh, we need these pieces next." So this learning network that we're trying to foster through Support Music Coalition, you know, from one community to another. What do I need to work on next? And that's, you know, there's 14,000 public schools in America, and there's probably going to be a unique solution or a continuum of learning in every school district. But at the end of the day, they're going to have a few of the same basic things, right? Wouldn't you agree? And what are some of those same basic things ultimately we're all working for?
Quality teachers.
And support for those teachers.
Support for those teachers, supplies and equipment that will enable them to do their jobs. Scheduling.
Adequate time to teach.
Time to teach. Consistent opportunities to participate. So it's not a one and done. It's multi-year commitment. We know from our research that states that the more than 1 year of music participation has increased benefits for on-time graduation, GPA, ACT scores, lower incidence of discipline referrals. So time in the day and opportunities to participate over time are important.
A sequential continuum of learning. Yeah, and that now it's the hard work, right? The hard work of just dealing with school schedules, school bureaucracies, the big priorities of schools. And if you're not at the table, you can't get it done. So pushing on to the curriculum table, right?
And I would say that what's different now than perhaps 20, 30 years ago is that school districts can't do it alone. We used to go in the classroom and close the doors. And there has been, I think, a shift to involving the community in important and strategic and significant ways. I think that's benefited the students, it's benefited the teachers and the administration to open their doors and to say, it does take a village, we want you all with us, this is important and we want this for all of our kids, not just some of our kids.
It is so much more collaborative and so much more transparent, right?
Yes.
I mean, there's just, come in and help, here's how, not sure. We need that help later. We need that help now. We're not sure if we'll ever need that type of help, but we're going to be together to figure it out. So you've been at the NAMM show many years. What's your impression this year?
It's so exciting to be here. You just get that shiver of anticipation when you see the big marquee up on the convention center and the people start to stream in town. I've started calling it the show of men in black. There's there's a lot of men wearing black.
And women too.
There's many more women.
And more hair of the rainbow of colors known to man.
Yes, what they're not wearing in color on their wardrobe, it's in their hairdo.
Right,
That's been really interesting to see. And over the years since I've been coming, I remember the first year I was here, I happened to be in the elevator with Mr. Steinway.
Oh, yes, Henry Steinway.
Yes,
that was so wonderful. Oh. He's not with us anymore, and I had the thrill of actually going to an after party at Steinway Hall with him. He hosted us and his, fantastic bow tie and his beautiful wife was there too. Yeah, it's a family, right?
It is. Yeah. And to see the music tech folks kind of take on the convention in a really exciting way. Mm-hmm. I know that music learning technology is transforming the way we do music education, and it's reflected here at the NAMM show, and that's been a change that I've seen in the last 10 years.
Yeah. And you're also with us for our day of service this year, and we thank you so much for that. We are having a partnership with the Anaheim Elementary Public School District, 19,000 students that went 20 years or more without any music educators in the school district. And a partnership with Nashville, kind of teaching the teachers and teaching the school administrators how to build a program. They now have 13 full-time music educators in the district. And you were with us. We went back to one of these schools and we played ukuleles and guitars and we danced and we sang and we played guitar and drums. It was really great.
Of course,
thank
it
you.
All comes home when you get to see the students in action. Yeah. And your members who volunteer their time to do these days of service it's great. That's when the community is at its best. Yeah. And you can just see on the faces of the students how meaningful it is.
And for us to start the NAMM show here in Anaheim that way, it's meant so much to our executive leadership, to our volunteer leadership, our executive committee. It's kind of what, let's, we know why we're here. you know, all of this sort of makes sense, the fact that we start that way. And it's been really great. So thank you for all your help you've given us with that school district. Another school district that's benefited from the Nashville Music Makes Us connection. Lori, thank you so much for being here, for once again adding such depth of knowledge and understanding about policy and advocacy to our Talking at Music Education podcast and the community folks that are learning from us through this podcast. I don't think this will be our last conversation. We touched on some of the same things in our first podcast, but always another perspective that we hope people will learn from. So any final thoughts?
Well, as you and I have discussed many times, this work is by its very nature iterative. We learn as we go. We make adjustments as we go. The ideas get bigger and more people come to the table and join our work. And it's been very exciting.
And the most important thing is that we never give up. We just keep moving forward. So we thank Lori Schell, the director of Music Makes Us from Nashville, Tennessee, for being with us, for joining us again this year at the NAM Show and being my guest on Talking Up Music Education. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you, Mary.
And I hope you join me for our next episode that we'll be hosting here at the NAM Show. We're recording podcasts every day live from the NAM Show 2017. And thank you for joining us on Talking Up Music Education, a podcast of the NAM Foundation.
The NAM Foundation would like to thank Vocal Booth for their support in providing a recording booth for these podcasts recorded live at NAM 2017. Whether you're recording, rehearsing, tracking, mixing, or overdubbing, Vocal Booth has a solution that's right for you. Learn more at vocalbooth.com.
Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. Nam. That's Mary L. N. A. M. M.